the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
One of the greatest verses in all the Bible is going to be studied today. It is in Titus chapter 3, verse 11, where it says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now, we're going to take that apart a little bit and make sure we have that understanding, but welcome to Exploring the Word. And today, Alex is in Colorado. We know that, and he'll be out there a day or two. He's always traveling. He's a traveling man. But we have with us someone that's been on quite a bit lately, Jeff Shambly. Jeff has become just a regular. Jeff, and we appreciate you, brother.
Oh, this is a joy to be on with you guys.
It is a joy for us to have you and to share in God's Word. Mm-hmm. And we're in Titus. It's part of the pastoral epistles. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing, we did 1 Peter first. And the reason we're doing Titus, although it's not the book in order in the New Testament, chronologically, it's the next book. And then after this, we'll go to 2 Timothy.
Right.
Someone has called it Timothy's last will and testament, 2 Timothy. And that's part of the truth.
That's right, yeah.
But appreciate you being on.
Oh, it's always a joy. I love being on with you. It's a challenge. You guys are always, you're light years ahead of me in it, so I find myself learning and just glad to comment when I can.
Well, I want to just tell you, better be a lifelong learner or you'll fall behind. Yeah. And it's neat to find out new things. That's the neat part about the Word of God. I'm telling you, when you've been preaching as long as I have, and you'll preach a sermon, but you'll see something that you did not see before, and it's fresh.
It's a living word.
It really is. And so we want to dig in. We were in Titus chapter 2, and we talked about the older women, the younger women, the older men, the younger men. And keep that in mind, because I think I'm going to bring it back up to talk about verse 11. But in verse 9, it goes to a different area. Now, here's what I want to look at and think about, Jeff. You're talking about your household, the men, the women, but also in many of them, there were servants. And in the church, in that day, one of the mysteries of the church was not it just being Jew and Gentile, it was male and female, but it was those that were slaves and those that were masters in the same church. Let me see, Philemon and Onesimus.
Yeah.
You know, and Onesimus had ran away. Now, I believe he got saved after he ran away, but Paul sent him back to where Philemon was and said, "You better treat him like a brother," you know?
What a radical idea for the time.
It is. Yep. And this is what it is. So when we look at this, I'll read verses 9 and 10. We'll talk about it. It says, "Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering," which means thieving or stealing, "but showing all good fidelity," honesty, "that they may be adorned the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Now, we're going to save that last phrase because I think it's so important. It's nearly like a transition into the next verse
if
you really look at it. But let's look at it today. Yeah, they were slaves in that day. Most of the time, it was because of financial reasons. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it could be other. You know, in America, we had indentured servants, but having generational slavery was, you know, it was practiced other places. It wasn't just here in America, and it was a sin. But a lot of times it was in place of taking bankruptcy, they would become servants for a while and then be set free. But regardless of that situation, they were to keep their testimony. No matter, here's the issue, and I want you to come in on, no matter your position in society and you're a believer, yours to serve as under the Lord, no matter what that position is.
Yeah, what a world-changing teaching that was at the time. And it really, Bert, it did undermine the practice of slavery throughout history. That concept undermined all of that. But as we look at how we interpret this today in 2025, believers need to know how to work under authority.
Amen.
We need to know how to come under someone who is over us, submit to that authority, and do so in a way that is endearing to them and attractive the gospel.
Jesus did that when he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father.
Yeah.
Do you remember the centurion came to him and he said, I'm also a man under authority. The word also.
Yeah.
And Jesus responded, I haven't found this so great a faith. You know, he responded in such a way. He had an understanding that Jesus came under the authority, the will of the Father.
And two, Bert, he has already talked about these unruly false teachers that were in the church. They were insubordinate. And so this problem of insubordination and being unruly was already something Titus was going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so he's reminding these bondservants, look, don't be like that. Be under the authority. Don't pilfer, like you said. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. And by the way, I looked up some figures on that. According to the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, they estimate that some businesses lose $50 billion a year to employee theft. So it's a big problem today.
It is.
And it is. Christian employees in particular are to be mindful of how we work and what we do.
Not only what the employees take, but then shoplifters. It is severe. It is severe. But we as believers, we're to not have any part. Let's look at this list. You've already done it in a good job. Be well-pleasing in all things. Do your job well. Whatever your hand find to do, do it with all your might. Not just enough to get by, but to excellence. We'll never be perfect, but we are to strive for excellence. Mm-hmm. My wife was in the marching band in high school, and in college she did as well. But when they'd go to competition, they had all these ratings. Now, I played basketball, and you put people out, and you put, that's how you did it. But there you had rating. You know, they'd have superior, and they would have. So it wasn't necessarily that you were perfect, but you were superior.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, should Christians be superior employees?
That's good.
I believe that's what he's saying here, that we are to do those things and do it well, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. That had two or three things. Not grumbling. Don't complain about your assignment. You know, when an assignment is given to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you do everything you can to carry it out. They probably wouldn't have asked you had they not thought you would do it. Now, it is, when they ask you to do wrong, there's a time to step back.
And that happens.
It does. Yeah. And so you step back and you have a higher calling. You have a higher, and that is from God. And we take that, and that's so real. But then, as you've already said, that pilfering, taking that which is not yours, and employees would have an opportunity to do that, you know, especially some that handle money. And if we look at the local paper, there'll be some politicians, there'll be some clerks, different things in cities and everything like that. And when it's done like that in a government official, they get called out. We've seen that quite a bit, even here in our area. You compound that with all the areas of the states you see that you're talking about. Okay, find honesty. Give an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. That they, now here it is, and I want you to comment, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, again, the question I had, and it's not necessarily guaranteed, but the pronoun, it may be talking about all the verses, all the way back to chapter 2, verse 1, with the women and the men and the servants. All of us, every person, there's no one exempt. You have no position, whether you're a pastor, whatever you are, a member. It says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That is powerful. Adorn.
Yeah.
Man, it should be something that is, if you adorn something, it is observed, right?
It's absolutely observed. The word adornment, is where we get the word cosmetics, and which means to set in order. And to make things right, to get ready, to prepare for. So we do make the gospel attractive. There's a wrong way to do that. Churches attempt to make the gospel attractive by lowering standards of morality and teaching and that sort of thing. But we do make the gospel attractive. We do adorn it, set it in order by our actions. And that is an awesome responsibility that we have.
I couldn't help but think about Peter when he talked about the the wife winning her husband,
yeah,
not with the adorning of hair, but that meek and quiet spirit which is inside, that which is observed and seen. You can make the outside look pretty good, but the inside could be full of dead men's bones. Let me see. Did Jesus say something about that, Jeff?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, he did.
Whited sepulchers. And we don't need to be whited sepulchers, looking good on the outside, but on the inside, no, we need to be real. What comes out from us, our heart and our attitudes and actions, how important that is.
Yeah, we are to adorn that doctrine of God. You know, the whole concept of salvation, the whole process of salvation is transformative, and God's will is that the law is written on our hearts, and so we obey him out of love, and so we are doing things, and I don't think we can't overstate that the gospel, it implies what we do and the way we behave.
It really does. Now, again, take that last statement and in verse 10, and we can do this before we go to break in about 3 minutes. It says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That for, a lot of times, for is because of, you know. And here, I believe it is because the grace of God. Now, I want to ask you, if we adorn ourselves with good works, doing that things which is well, are we demonstrating to others the grace of God? Do you catch how that ties in? Because he's talking about positions in the home, positions in society, and then we're to adorn it so they can see the doctrine, that teaching, and it's the of grace. And how do they do it? And I believe God has appeared more than that. But this is what I was trying to say is God can use those who are listening to us today by being that witness, that agent in their job, that they are adorned with that God has placed in their hearts and lives, doing a job well done.
Being having fidelity in all that we do.
Honesty. Doing everything. Yeah. Nothing's exempt. Okay, so let's look at this, the grace of God. You know, he's going to get down in the next verse and talk about all the righteousness and godliness and all the things that we're doing, but it all starts by grace. And it's the grace of God that has appeared to all men. There's a lot of, what does that mean? Well, if you understand, I'm just going to put it very plain. If you're not in hell, you ought to believe in the grace of God. I had a friend and people listening to this, Bill Stafford, great evangelist.
Yeah.
He said, when will we understand everything above hell is grace? So you're listening today, saved or lost. It's God's grace that you are not already in torment, always ready, separated from God. It's his love demonstrated through his grace. And so grace is so important. God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited favor of God. I honestly believe it's kind of just hard to define completely what grace is.
Well, it's ultimately rooted in Jesus, isn't it?
It is.
He is grace personified.
He is the one. No one else.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, Jeff, we're going to continue. We're going to take this all the way through chapter 2, and we're looking forward to it because we're going to talk about the blessed hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the hope we have. You're listening to Exploring the Word. Alex is out today, but Jeff Shambly's in, and we're looking forward to continuing in the book of Titus, chapter 2. This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28,
and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Colossians 1:13.
American Family Radio.
I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Good afternoon. Great to have you along with us. I'm Jeff Shambly with Bert Harper on Exploring the Word, and we are in the book of Titus. Brother Bert, we are approaching the section, the cluster of verses I was hoping that you and Alex would not get to when I was on with you. So this is a great section of verses.
I told Alex, I said, let's take a lot of time about those men and women, and we did.
Yeah, good.
And so I wanted to do that, Jeff. Well, we're in this passage, and I believe verse 11, this is my thoughts, it connects what we've been talking about in with what we're going to talk about. Now, it says here, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared on me. We've talked about the grace, and it's the grace of God. It is his. And then it says that brings salvation. Works is no way.
Right.
No way. Purchasing, no way. Earning, no way. It is grace. Is there any other way?
No other way.
No other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you said grace is personified in Jesus Christ. Yeah. What a statement that is. But now let's look at the rest of that. It's pretty interesting to me. Has appeared to all men. Now, again, the reason I think that is going back to the servant, the women, no matter the position, no matter your location, no matter what, God's grace has appeared. Now, we know of creation. We know of conscience.
Yeah.
That's God's grace was demonstrated in creation. Look what he said. Look what he did provide for man in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
God's grace completely that he gave. And work was a blessing. The curse of it came after man had sinned, that he had worked by the sweat of his brow and how to deal with mosquitoes and stuff like that. But before that, it was grace. The position, the creation has appeared. Conscience, that God would, you know, demonstrate to us what that this is evil. This is wrong.
Yeah.
That's grace. And sometimes people don't understand that everything like that is grace. And it has appeared to all men. Now, when I see that, all men, I don't see anyone excluded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say this, and this is where a lot of folks disagree. If grace has appeared to all men, it sounds like God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Sure, yeah.
Why would the grace appear if God was going to withhold anything? You know, it.
Yeah, the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to the Roman soldiers as they were crucifying him.
They really did.
It appeared to the Pharisees as they were mocking him. The grace of God has appeared to every man through the gospel, specifically the grace of God that brings salvation. There's a common grace. The grace of marriage, the grace of family, the grace of being able to have food and shelter. But then there's the grace of God that brings salvation. And that is specifically through the offering of Jesus on the cross that brings healing, restoration, redemption, atonement, all of those things to man. And it's appeared. That's aorist. That's past tense. That has happened.
It's
once and for all completed. So when Christ died on the cross, that is a fact of history. It's done.
It is.
And that atonement was made. And now we take that to the nations. And we're continuing that has appeared to all men as we're, as you know, on your show, exploring missions.
Yeah.
More and more people every day.
Amen. I think it is demonstrated in the book of Acts when the Ethiopian eunuch from Ethiopia comes to Jerusalem. Something was drawing him, saying there's just one God. And he came to the place where that one God is worshiped. He doesn't get all of his questions answered, but he is searching.
Yeah, that's good.
And he takes back
the scroll of Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Yep.
And God, knowing his heart, takes Philip away from a great crusade, you know, where hundreds are being saved, to take him to run alongside the chariot of this one Ethiopian eunuch who was searching and open to know God.
Amen. Wow.
With all my heart, Jeff, I believe God operates that way with any individual. God will bring, if you receive light, he gives more light. I think that's in the psalm, you know, his path, his light. He gives more. He gives more. In the book of Romans, it says he gives more grace. Mm-hmm. In other words, that grace that leads us to repentance.
Right.
It is that kind of God we serve has appeared to all men. So those who are listening today, if you're listening,
amen. Yes.
Come to Christ. Don't put it off. Don't delay. It's the greatest relationship in all the world, knowing Jesus. As that old song, it's a great adventure, isn't it? I love that song. Saddle up your, I'm old, you know, growing up in the 50s and 60s when Westerns ruled everything, you know, growing up watching that, and it says, saddle up your horses. I can't help but think of that. Yeah. So get ready. Let God's grace be demonstrated in your life. Mm. Go to verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Now, I've written this down. I want to see what you think. Verse 11 talks about reaching us, what? God's grace. Mm-hmm. God's grace reaches us. That's what he's referring to. And in verse 12, God's grace teaches us. Now, you can tell I'm a preacher, reaches and teaches. Yeah. I got to come up with something like that in verse 13.
It's always the third one. That's
always
the
third one, the problem. So here it is, but it teaches us denying. There's some things, once you know God in such a personal way, there's things you put off and things you put on. Paul talked about that a lot, about putting on the new man, but he also talked about putting off the old man, did he not?
Mm. You know, the Bible says, and Paul wrote, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
That's the off and on.
That's the off and on, and it's the miracle of salvation. You know, salvation is, justification is an instantaneous work of God in our hearts. But then there's this process of sanctification that the work of the Spirit does in us. That's why I love the word teaching us.
Exactly.
The grace of God is teaching. Well, who's teaching? It's the Spirit of God in us.
And it's the discipling. This is what it is. And that's what the Great Commission, to go and make what? Converts? No, disciples. Anytime you have disciples, you got to have discipline. You live by these disciplines. What are these? Some of these, denying ungodliness. This is what you don't do in your own life. You don't, all things are lawful for me. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it does matter. It does matter. I'll not do anything. I'm a new creature. Things are new. So that means I look at things differently than I used to as well. Yeah. I just, Paul talked about you don't run to the same excesses that you once did. Mm-hmm. You know, things are different. And then it says worldly lust. They're out there. We come to the place where we deny that. We don't give in to that. It doesn't mean we're not tempted. It doesn't mean that it's still there. But going back to the servant, the slave, not pilfering, not stealing, not being dishonest. That, you catch what I'm saying? If you tie that in back to what he was referring to earlier, in other words, our life is different. And then it says we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. I think it's talking about living soberly. That means sound judgment.
Yeah.
You know, we need to... we need sound judgment, knowing that righteously we're living right with others, and we need to live right with God. Mm-hmm. So we live right with ourselves, right with others, and right with God. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
If I'm living right, I need to know myself, you know, discipline myself, live righteously with others, and godly before God.
Yeah, I love the phrase, in this present age, because it reminds me, yes, I've come to Christ. You know, we've repented, we've turned from our sins, we've become these new creatures. But there is a work that happens in this present age in our hearts. It's not all, you know, God is preparing us for the kingdom that is to come. If Paul said in Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which we prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in this present age, the Spirit of God is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So there's God's preparing us.
Okay, I'm going to do what Alex talks about quite a bit. I want to spiritualize a little bit at my and I'm going to do it. It means what you just said, but it hit me at my present age. Okay, let's go. You catch what I'm saying? And I'm using this. I'm stretching it some. Okay, but it's true. No matter once you've been born again. You know, and it talks about it in 1 John. John talked about, you know, all, you know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you look at those, they cover every area of your life. But certain areas of our life at certain ages, certain things become more, I would say, real that we need to deny. You know, the lust of the flesh, young, mm-hmm. you know, being ruled by your hormones, being sure. ruled by your lust. The lust of the eyes, what you see, you want. That hits a lot of people in middle ages. They start comparing themselves with those folks that's been working for 20 years, and man, they've got everything going. You've been working for 20 years, and you're still struggling and living week by week. So you said, man, what, you know, the lust of the eyes of what I want. Then the pride of life. It can hit people in an older age. Well, nobody cares. You know, my kids don't come around like they used to, you know. You got so many, they do come around, Jeff, okay? But anyway.
There's worry. There's a bunch of things that happen as we get older.
Yeah.
You know.
You catch what I'm saying?
Sure.
So,
good.
Again, I'm stretching it a little bit.
In your present age. I like
that. Yeah. Whatever your present age is, listen, you stay with God. There's not a time that you get off. You stay with God. Stay with him. And he's doing a work in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began this work in you will what? Complete it.
Complete it.
It has the idea. Yes, I'm not going to bail out on you. I'm going to stay with you. Stay with me. There's two words that I've come up with recently that really have just, and I want you to comment on, surrender and cooperation. And that's, if I had to put, I do try to simplify things. That's just my brain. Okay, how can I make this simpler? I surrender my life to him. I've been bought with a price.
Yep.
Therefore, glorify God in everything. You know, so all of it's his, right? And now, how do I have victory in it? Cooperating with him. I don't sit back and say, okay, God, here I am. Do it. No. And you don't say, man, I got to get out there and work. No, it's that relationship. Jesus says, I'm sending my spirit, and my spirit will guide you to all truth. And it's that I'm cooperating with God through his Holy Spirit and his word to follow him. Those two words.
I think about every trial that you get, every temptation that you get is an opportunity either to cooperate with God or to rebel.
That's it.
You know, and so everything that we face in the course of a day is a great opportunity to cooperate with God.
Okay.
I like that.
We're going to go on and get the verses and not have any of them held over for Alex. Okay. Verse 14. Okay. It says, appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus. He's coming back. Okay. He is looking for the blessed hope. The blessed hope we talked about earlier. I'll let you handle it first. Go with the blessed hope if you want to.
Well, one commentator said this incorporates all that is to come, including the second coming of Christ. It includes the resurrection. It includes our glorification, the kingdom age. So the blessed hope is those things that we look forward to, that it's to come. And that's that process of looking, you know, obeying as we're looking.
I believe it is, because all of it is. That's Jesus. He's involved in everything. Okay, they say, oh, it's the rapture. Well, it's the rapture plus. It's him coming to earth and putting his foot on that mountain. You know, that's it. It's what's going to take place after that. His kingdom reign, the new heavens and the new earth. All of it. Okay, now my blessed hope is only this. No, it's all of it. I agree with that commentator. whoever that commentator was, I just can't get apart from all of it. But then it says this, blessed hope and glorious, the glory. Anytime you see that, you think of the Shekinah glory of God. God's going to bring it. And the glory, glorious appearing of great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is His kingdom, everything's going to be revealed. It's kind of veiled now, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's going to be completely, sort of like at the transfiguration of Christ. You know, he had veiled himself in flesh, but for that few moments, he let the Shekinah glory shine. We're going to see the Shekinah glory of God.
You know, it was the hope of the early church. His second coming was the hope. They lived in that hope. And I think that we need to be living in that hope today, every single day, looking, is Jesus going to come today? You know, there's a great verse in 1 John that he writes, when he is revealed, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And then he says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. As
purifies?
He is. So there is a purifying aspect in looking forward to that blessed hope.
Amen.
I love that.
Somebody said, I'm going to get ready and stay ready. For his coming, I love that. It goes on and says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. There it is.
That's it.
For his own special people, zealous of good works. Now, again, look at this redemption. Go back to verse 11, and he kind of opens it up in verse 11, ties a bow on it in verse 14. Redemption. The grace of God, not only reaches us, it teaches us, but it keeps us. Hmm. It keeps us. It's the only way. If it was just us, there'd be no hope. Special people, zealous of good works, not saved by good works, but you've already quoted it.
Mm-hmm.
We're saved for good works. Where were men? It says they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Let me see, did they see what we do in the walls of the church or outside when we're in Walmart or when we're in at the signal light and somebody doesn't go and we blow our horn real hard?
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to see our good works, don't they, Jeff?
They do.
Hey, we're going to come back with questions. If you have a question for Jeff or myself today, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the key word baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Amen. I want to ask you something, Jeff. Is Jesus worthy of all our praise?
Amen. He is.
He is worthy. Can you imagine in heaven, you know, just they're all Jesus and holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Mm-hmm. People better get ready to. I'm practicing now. So when I get to heaven, the worship will just be right on.
Amen.
So, amen. Hey, you're listening to Exploring the Word. Jeff Shambly's with us. Pray for Alex. He's traveling. He stays on the road a lot, and I know you know that, and he appreciates your prayers for him. And just do that, Jan. I appreciate your prayers for us as well when we go out. And so continue praying for Exploring the Word and my, Alex and myself as we minister and go. And thank Jeff for being here so much. One thing I want to get before we get to Bill from Ohio, we're collecting listener stories. These are to be played during Share-a-thon. And that's the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October, the first days of October. And if the Lord has done a great work in your life, a work in your life, using AFR, we would love to hear about it. It's going to be about 2 minutes or less that you could do that. And it would be so helpful. We play many of those, if not all of them, during Share-a-thon. It's my favorite part. And if you would share your story about what God has done, the number, and you need to write this down, 877-876-8893. It's 877-876-8893. And let us hear about what God has done, especially, Alex and I say, especially if God's done it through Exploring the Word. Yeah. We hear about it all the time, but not everybody calls in. But it is fun to listen to hear what God is doing and how he's operating and working in people's lives. 877-876-8893 is for Talking Points. But if you have a question today, we got a different number. Don't get them mixed up. This is 888-589-8840. And if you've got a Bible question, Jeff and I would love to hear about it. Well, Jeff, you ready to go to the first caller?
Yeah, let's go to Bill, who's calling in from Ohio. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate your show and your ministry.
Thank you.
I had a quick question about evangelism. When you're sharing with the lost the gospel, is it better or more? Is it more effective and more biblical to focus on God's love for them, John 3:16, or God's wrath, anger at their sin, and John 3:36, you know, the wrath of God abides on those who reject Christ. And then the examples of Bill Bright's 4 spiritual laws, you know, God loves you, as opposed to, in conjunction with Ray Comfort's Way of the Master, using the 10 commandments to get people alarmed at their spiritual condition.
Hey, Bill,
yeah.
I would say it's according. There are those, I love Ray Comfort's, I tell you, you know, to do that. Years ago when we were doing a drama at the church where I pastored here, a Christmas drama, we used Ray Comfort's approach in the, you know, in the drama musical, because we had someone that needed to get right with God, and they thought they were all right, you know? Mm-hmm. How many people say, well, I'm okay? Well, you say, have you ever stolen a pen? And you were talking about earlier about employees and how they take, you know, stuff. So using Ray Comfort's way, it would get them to rethink, okay, I'm not quite as good as I want to, and it follow up. Well, what can we do about it through the grace of God? But others, they respond, you know, to the goodness of God is good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to tell anybody, Bill, how to start out. I'd start out with Jesus Christ, know is the way, the truth, and the life, and then kind of see what they do. Some people say, you know, start out with a question. You know, if you were to die today and you appeared before God and he asked you why you should, you know, I should let you into my heaven, what would you say? There's many effective ways, aren't there, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. And Bill, you ask a great question, and it's one that's talked about a lot. Some people are under conviction when you talk to them. Some people are very proud of the way that they are ruling their lives. They need to be told about the nature of God. He's a holy God. And naturally, that leads into, you know, the problem of sin and the wrath of God. And so there's any number of ways. I would say, you know, leading with, you know, leaving out the message of the holiness of God and his penalty for sin, I think, is a mistake, because you have to be lost. You have to know you're lost.
You got to get lost before you can get saved.
And so if you're only speaking about the love of God, then you're missing an important part of the gospel. And that's the reason Jesus went to the cross in the first place. So I think all of those things together make for a good conversation. So, Bill, thank you for calling in today.
And I'd say this, Bill, thank you for wanting to be a witness and being a witness. Yeah. And let God use you. I do believe the Holy Spirit does direct us. Mm-hmm. If you start it,
when you
start it, I believe God will help you. He'll direct it. So, Bill, keep it up. Hey, that number, if you have a Bible question for us, and we got lines that are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you have a Bible question.
Next up, let's go to Kentucky and welcome Steve to Exploring the Word. Hi, Steve, and welcome.
Yeah, hi, guys. I wanted to ask you a question about the Wesleyan holiness doctrine. And the reason I'm asking is because I'm planning to attend, I think they call themselves Global Methodist.
Yeah.
They split off from the United Methodist, and they're trying to return to a more biblically based church. But I don't understand the Wesleyan holiness doctrine. I believe they believe that a person can be entirely sanctified in this life. And how does that jive with First or Second John, where it says, he who says he's without sin is a liar?
Okay, Steve, thank you for that good question. First of all, let's talk about this. And we've got at least two pastors that were in the United Methodist Church that were employed here. Matter of fact, our founder, Don Wildman, was part of that. And he was always giving them trouble trying to get them back to the fundamentals and so forth.
Yeah.
But the Global Methodist, man, they're coming out, and the number is great. I've already preached the one this fall, and I've got another one scheduled later on. Okay. So they're inviting this Baptist to come to them. I love it too. I got to tell this real quick. This is a neat story. I was at a Methodist church a few years ago, and Southern Baptist preaching at a United Methodist, and that day they had the Assembly of God choir come. We had heaven. Heaven came down. We had a great, I think God, when you love Jesus, you love his word. Listen, there's some things, we can work together. But let me say this, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
God expects holiness. Now, perfection, I think we can go back to what we were talking about earlier about, superior, excellent. We're to be excellent. Will we be totally? We will never come to the place where we're without sin. He who says is a liar and the truth is not in him. I had a man one time say he hadn't sinned in about 10 years, and I said, well, you just messed up. He didn't like it at all, Jeff.
Hey, let me just say one other thing, Steve. I don't think that it's that's right to, it wouldn't be fair to characterize the Wesleyan Church as being perfectionist. I don't think that that's what they mean when they talk about sanctification. I know that we air spots for the Wesleyan Biblical Seminary a lot here.
In Jackson, Mississippi.
Good, solid guys that teach the authority of God's Word.
And they teach it on Sunday morning. They have a whole program Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, but they would not teach perfectionism, so I think that you'd be okay there.
All right.
Let's go to Texas. Hi, Charles. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi.
Hi, Charles.
I appreciate your program. I do have one comment, almost in the area of a criticism. I think your overemphasis on use of the King James Version may turn off a lot of people you're trying to reach. Something like the New Living Translation might be more effective.
Okay, Charles. Alex uses the King James. He reads from the King James. And he just said, I like it. I don't use the King James. I use New King James, which changes the vowels and the begotten, goeth and everything like that. But we also use other. Sometimes I bring in the New Living Translation,
right?
The ESV. I do know folks, and they try to read the King James, and they sometimes they do get a little lost on it. And I told them, if you're starting out and you're in a King James only church and it doesn't make sense, buy one of those Bibles that has another translation, modern by it, and you can compare and see, and it helps. But I tell Alex, and I'm having some fun here, and I'm not having it at his expense. We just laughed about it. I said, Alex, if you wouldn't use the King James, you could cut your sermon at least 5 minutes because you wouldn't have to explain what that means today.
Oh, boy.
And he laughs at it, and he said, well, I like preaching long.
Yeah.
But, Charles, I understand what you're saying. Did you memorize King James when you were memorizing Scripture, or did you use a different version?
There was a point in our family where we had to choose which translation we were all going to read.
Yeah.
We were in NIV for a long time. I really wanted to get something that was more word-to-word equivalent. And so I looked at ESV, I looked at all those. I thought, you know what? The New King James, I like the Textus Receptus. I like the Received Text. It's based the same manuscripts that the KJV is used on. It's easier to read, and it sounds like what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And so that's why I went with the New King James Version. But
well,
I think those
here were it was. When I was reading and using the King James, I'd wind up changing the runneth and the vowels.
Yeah.
It just made no sense to me. And then when I discovered the New King James, I says, man, I won't have to do that. Just reading it, it does it already. Let's talk about the number. If you've got a question, I've got one here I'm going to ask in a moment. But if you have a question you'd like to ask us, 888-589-8840. But when we talk about, memorizing Scripture and memorizing it, and you were talking about not the NIV, the ESV, and you're just wanting to get one more word for word and not thought for thought.
Right.
Tell us why you wanted to do that, Jeff.
Well, you know, God chose the Greek language to reveal himself in the New Testament, and as close as we can get to that, and I understand there's no direct translation. It wouldn't make sense if you were to read a direct translation from Greek to English. But you can get close to it.
You can.
And that's what I think translations like the ESV do very well, the NASB extremely well.
Yes.
The New King James very well. And the King James, I would say that as well.
Yep.
So, you get more of the dynamic equivalents, which is more of the NIV, the Message, and some of those translations, which are helpful to look at. But in terms of studying and, what's this verb mean? What's the tense of this verb? Why did he use that word? I think it's important to go to something that's more of a direct translation.
The New American Standard Version?
Yeah.
I'm not I took Greek and I know all that, and I'm not an authority on that. But what little I know, it really sticks to the language really, really well. So if you want a modern version that really sticks, word for word as best they can.
Yeah.
It's a good version to study by. Well, we've got other callers.
Let's go to Levi, who's calling in from Georgia. Hi, Levi. Welcome to the program. Levi, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, love your show. I'm a first-time caller. Can you hear me?
You can.
Yeah.
We can. Thank you, Levi. What part of Georgia? I got to ask you. Where from in Georgia?
Middle Georgia, Hawkinsville.
Okay. Well, go ahead with your comment or your question, brother. Go right ahead.
So I hear y'all, Bert and Alex, talk all the time about belief in the pre-tribulation rapture. So I was curious. I believe the same.
Okay. We're dropping Levi. We don't know all the reasons why.
Yeah.
Alex and I are both pre-trib. We do believe, here it is, we believe that Jesus is coming back, and then you have 7 years. It makes sense to us. I know some folks that believe it's in the half, and others it's going to happen, and then the church is going to be taken out at the last. But listen, the whole issue is Jesus Christ is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to nail down. And it may affect where you go to church. You know what I mean? What church? But it should not hurt fellowship with a brother
Absolutely.
And sister like that. Yeah. I've got friends that are all millennial, those, and they're dear friends, and I love them. But, you know, there are certain things that are vital. Others, you just say, okay, we have a different view on that.
Yeah, study and find out for yourself what you believe, but absolutely don't break fellowship. South Dakota. Wow, let's go up to Jim, who's calling in from South Dakota today. Hi, Jim.
How's it going? Just had a quick comment. I was a member of the Global Methodist Church. And the comment that I have to make real quick, because I know time is short, is be careful because they allow women as senior pastors in their church, which is 5 minutes off according to the doctrine of the Bible, which is what Satan wants. He's going to tell you something 5 minutes off. How long did it take the United Methodists to go completely off the rails when they let women in?
Yeah. Jim, that is a legitimate question, and we say, the senior pastor, I disagree with them, but from where they were as United Methodists and where they are as Global is quite better. And so we pray for them. I wish they would rethink that. I really do. I would, if they would ask me, I'd tell them that, Jeff. Yeah. You know, senior pastors, I think the Bible's clear. Yeah, it should be too. A male. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You going to be back with us tomorrow?
Absolutely. Let's do it
again. Man, and we'll get into chapter 3, all the way into chapter 3, and we're looking forward to it. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Be sure, if you want a listener testimony, 877-876-8893. We'd love to hear it here in Share-a-thon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.